if you have the full Bible, not if you have a New Testament, then you're going to have to look on with somebody else. But we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. And then later, we'll be looking at a lot of scriptures. If you don't have a Bible, I would ask that you try to get near somebody that has a Bible, and so that we can look in it, because the Bible is God's Word. It's God's message to us. And so my words aren't necessarily important, but God's words are. And God gave us a message book, and that is the Word of God. So we're going to be looking at that. There were two buddies, Bob and Earl. Bob and Earl were two of the biggest baseball fans that probably ever lived. They would go to 60 baseball games a year together, Bob and Earl. One summer night, they had gotten older. One summer night, Bob passed away in his sleep after watching the Yankees. They were victorious that evening, and maybe it was too much for Bob, and he passed away. A few nights later, his buddy Earl woke up to the sound of Bob's voice. And Earl mentioned, he kind of quietly was like, Bob, is that you? And Bob said, of course it's me. Come on, Earl. And Earl was like, well, this is unbelievable. I can't believe that you're talking to me. And Bob said, well, I just wanted to let you know. We always wanted to know if baseball was in heaven. And so Earl was like, well, Bob, is baseball in heaven? And Bob said, well, there's good news and there's bad news. He said, well, what's the good news? And Bob said, well, there is baseball in heaven. Earl almost had a heart attack right there and joined him. But he was really excited. And then he thought about it. And he said, wait a minute, Bob, what's the bad news? And Bob continued and said, Earl, you're pitching tomorrow night. And so with that, Earl went off to sleep to baseball heaven. All right, but anyways, we're going to be talking about life this morning. We all love life, and I would like to speak about this topic. Now, it's a play on words, especially in the last 6 months or a year. This morning, I entitled the message, What Life Matters. What life matters? There's a big to-do in the political realm as far as what lives really matter. But we think of man kind of halfway between animal and God, possessing some characteristics of each. Physiologically and anatomically, man does have some relationship to animals. I don't know if you knew that. But those that are biologists and those that are zoologists, they could tell you some of those things. There's even some genetic codes that are shared. Evolutionists call man a primate. And they say that because much of the similarities. But the Genesis account in Genesis chapter 2, look at what Genesis chapter 2, if you're in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 2, and look at verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God forms man of the dust of the ground. But look at down in verse 19. In verse 19 of the same chapter, chapter 2, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he could call them. So we see that God also formed the animals. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20 it says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So he brings life. So when we look at the Bible here we read it, we see that the breath of life doesn't necessarily distinguish man by himself. If you read through the Bibles, you can even go, we're in the book of Genesis, look at Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 22. And all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the earth. So we see in verse 22 of chapter 7 that the breath of life, sometimes we think the distinction between man and animals is that we have the breath of life. That's not necessarily true. According to the Bible, there are animals that have the breath of life, according to Genesis chapter 7. The main impact or the main difference is found in Genesis chapter 1, though. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, "Let us make," who? "Man in our image, after our likeness." That is one of the main differences. One of the main differences we see between man and animals, man and plant life, is not just the breath of life. We have the breath of life. We saw that in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And you see it in Genesis 2 and verse 7 that man, God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. But the main difference between man and animals is that we were made in the image of God. What does that mean necessarily? It means that we have some, as humans, we have some godlike characteristics. What are godlike characteristics? Well, language. I know there are, again, we might be able to bring some evolutionists. You could bring in some scientists and they would say, well, animals have language. All right, I'm not going to debate that with you. And you bring your cats and dogs up here and you may understand because they're like, woof, woof. You're like, see? He's talking to me. Well, I understand if you talk like a dog. All right? And maybe some of you look like a dog too. I don't know, but it could be possible that that's you say, yeah, you know what? I understand that. You know, their animals have a language, but it's not the same as us talking here this morning. You know that. It's not the same. So there's language. That's a godlike characteristic. Creativity. Love. No, you would say, oh, you haven't seen my cats. Well, you know, I don't really like cats that much. I think they taste good with barbecue sauce and ranch and Dijon mustard, things like that. But I don't really like cats that much. You know, really, they taste like chicken. You know what I mean? But just kidding. Just kidding. Those of you that like cats. But I don't necessarily think of cats and dogs as somebody that just, man, they have so much love. Oh, but you know what? Human beings, why are we godlike? All right, we have language, we have creativity, we have love. Man, I truly believe this, man became, in Genesis 2, in verse 7, the Bible says that man, God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. One of the main things that differentiates us from animals and plants is that man is immortal. Now you would say, now that's not true because I know my grandma, I know my grandpa, I know an uncle and they passed away. Yes, their physical body passed away, but spiritually we have a soul. And that soul will spend eternity in heaven and hell. In heaven or hell, I would say. So you could probably add some other things to this list. You know, language, creativity, love, holiness, immortality, freedom. And you could add other things like intelligence, but that's not necessarily true in our day and age. All right, that was a joke. Because there are a lot of people I meet that are human beings, and they're not very intelligent at all. And so, but there is intelligence. We have the capability of thinking. We have the capability of reasoning. We should have the capability of some logic. And that is something that God has given us. And that is why we are made in the image of God. This morning, I want to look at the idea of what lives matter. What lives really do matter. And hopefully we can draw some conclusions about salvation. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the guests that you brought in. We thank you for an opportunity to look through the Word of God. We would ask that you would calm our hearts, calm our spirits, help us to see the Word of God properly, that it is God's Word, His message to us. I pray that you would help us to be clear as we describe this idea of what lives matter. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. So what lives matter? Looking again at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So notice, right here in verse 26, God says, I'm going to make man, and then I'm going to place him in charge of plants and animals. That's not really hard to understand when we're looking at the Bible here. So verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." All right, and so we're not going to try to get all into politics, but right here it knocks away some of the things that are happening in our society. When God makes a man, all right, they are distinct, either man or woman. Do you see that in verse 27? There's no identity crisis in the Garden of Eden. There was no identity crisis. Adam wasn't there like, "Oh, what am I?" No, he knew, "You're Adam, you're a man." And the female was made out of man, we know that later on. And so they were created in God's image, and they were created distinctly different. Look at verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over," what are they having dominion over? "The fish of the sea, of the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So as we start out, we just have 2 points, and then we're going to try to wrap it up by trying to understand some things about life then. And that, since life matters, what should I do with it? I believe human life matters because man was created in the image of God. God is the source and the sustainer of life. We read the verse in chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, "God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." This breath of life, as we said, doesn't distinguish man from separate from animals and plants, because animals and plants, they breathe the breath of life also. But what distinguishes them is that man was made in the image of God, and he became a living soul. It is not said that animals became a living soul. They lived, they breathed, but they're not a living soul. As we see in Genesis 1, man is the only being that was created in the image of God. This makes man a special creation of God. God is the one who made or who has distinguished man this way. In the Netherlands, there's a euthanasia law that came into existence a few years ago. It was designed to help terminally ill patients have a dignified death. The right to die, according to the Netherlands, and it's spread across Europe. It has grown also to those that are physically unhealthy, but also maybe they have psychological problems. In 2011, in the Netherlands, 13 patients suffering from mental illness were euthanized. And what does euthanize mean? It means that they're given something and they just pass off into eternity, we believe. In 2013, 42 people were euthanized because of mental illness. And it's not just adults now. In the Royal Dutch Medical Association, it said in 2012 that 650 babies were deemed to be in pain or facing a life of suffering, and so they were allowed in the Netherlands to be euthanized. Now, you think euthanasia, most people say that it's for older folks. Well, not in the Netherlands. Now, even some people that voted to have euthanasia accepted are saying, wait a minute, I didn't think it would grow this fast. There's a couple examples that I read. There was one man named Andre Verhoeven. He was a man who chose to end his life by lethal injection in the Netherlands. He was a school teacher. He planned to retire. He wanted to travel the world with his wife, Dora. However, at the age of 65, he was diagnosed with acute leukemia. It's a cancer of the blood. There was no cure for him for this horrific disease because of a lot of the complications. So Andre became paralyzed within a month or so from the neck down. His daughter, describing it, said, "His end was so peaceful. Once my father decided on euthanasia, he was relieved. He was looking forward to the date he would die. And the last few days, he was able to say his goodbyes to his family, his friends, and talk about old times. And then he was euthanized at 65. There is another story. Sue Reed. Sue Reed was a woman who chose assisted suicide in the Netherlands, in Holland, actually. She was 47 years old, and she had tinnitus. Tinnitus is a persistent ringing in the ears. She entered her life in March a couple years ago, and as somebody describes it, she had this noise in her head. She was a brilliant clarinet player. She suffered, though, from tinnitus, which she said that she endured for 24 hours a day. She said it was like a train screeching or someone scratching their nails on a chalkboard. She said, "I looked healthy from the outside, but inside I was being tortured because of tinnitus." To end her suffering, she was given a lethal portion to drink by one of the clinic doctors at her home. This is what is amazing to me. She's 47 years old. She's a brilliant clarinet player. But she left a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old behind. She told the children she was planning to die. She was in pain and there was no cure for her. The euthanasia was agreed by doctors and she said her goodbyes and had time to organize her memorial service. And she died a month later. The reason I bring that up is because there's a problem in our society, because what we've done is we've removed the idea of living and we placed it on man's shoulders, and that's God's job. God is the giver and taker of life. The Bible says in Hebrews that it's appointed unto man once to die, but that's God's decision. And so in America, even this idea has come, well, is it okay to take someone's life? Is it okay to have assisted suicide? And remember, that kind of became popular about 15 years ago in Michigan. We had Dr. Kevorkian, and there was all kinds of uproar. Why was there uproar in America? Part of it was because even though we've gone away from it, we have an understanding from the Bible that man was created in the image of God. And because of that, life is a gift from God. And when we looked in our text in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, we also see that man was placed in charge of, what was he placed in charge of? He was placed in charge of the plants and the animals. So what does this mean to you and I? It means that animals and plants are not on the same level. I'm sorry for those of you if that's an unbelievable, shocking statement to you, because you're like, whoa, I didn't know that. I mean, my dog, I didn't know. So we just sit together at the dinner table and I ask him and I say, "Hey, what do you want to eat this evening?" And now all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, I mean, I can choose for my dog what he eats?" Yes, you can. Why? Because a dog is not on the same level as human life. Where do I get that from? From the Bible. And when you remove the Bible from society, all kinds of weird things come up. And that's why now, guess what? In California, in January of 2015, January of this year, in California, now chickens have more rights than unborn babies. Did you know that? It was passed. Overwhelmingly passed. Now, because this is what happened, chickens, this was in Sacramento, California, they were studying it and they were looking at it and they found out that chickens did not have a lot of room to move around. Right there in the hen houses, they noticed that they would put them in, and it was almost like they wanted them just to produce eggs. That's all they wanted of those chickens. And people came in, they were appalled. I mean, what in the world? I mean, come on, they just want the chickens to produce eggs, and then later on, they're going to wring their neck, and just, man, they're going to have fajitas with them. What is up with society? And so they passed laws, and now they have dimensions for each hen house. I was so happy when I read that. I was so worried about the chickens in our society. You know, because I was thinking, man, here are these poor little chickens. And it's sitting there grilled on my plate. What type of living condition did that chicken have? I mean, what kind? Because as I partake of it and it's been marinating there in my fridge in a plastic bag. For some of them, if you do it right, for probably 36 hours or so. Why? Because I want that chicken to taste good. So I do actually, as I'm sitting up here and I'm thinking about it, I really do care about my chickens. You know why? Because I want them tasting tender. I want them tasting so well. But you know what? Many of us sitting here, we'd say, well, that's kind of silly. But that's where our society has gone to. Why? Because we don't understand that man was created in the image of God. It's pumped down our throats, and it's forced down our throats that, wait a minute, the Bible is just a fairy tale. The Bible is just silliness. And the reason we don't really want to follow the Bible is because then, if I truly follow the Bible, I understand that I'm in the image of God, then later on, when some of those things that really start convicting me from the Bible, as in my sin, my sense of morality, when I really start digging into the Bible, when I can say, well, you know what, that was a fairy tale, then when it comes to some of the rules, some of the laws that God sent down, like thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, when I start saying, wait, I don't like that rule, I can say, well, you know what, there's a lot of fairy tales. Maybe that's one too. It starts discrediting everything about the Bible then. If we can start breaking down as far as man and say, well, it's not really important how man was created, then from the foundation, you're starting to crumble everything, aren't you? I believe that man, human life matters. What life matters? Human life matters. Why? Because man was created in the image of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, but on the height, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. This is the phrase, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God has a different perspective. This is what you and I have to understand. God is God, and he has a different perspective, and so I must go to him. God has set the standard. He has taken the responsibility for deciding the value of life because he has a bigger perspective than any human. He can see what you can't see. Did you know that? For many, many years, God saw what we did not see. Now, because of technology, we can see a little more. But God said from the beginning in Isaiah 44 and verse 2, thus saith the Lord, that made thee and formed thee from the womb. Way back in Isaiah time, you're talking probably 3,000 years ago. Maybe 3,500 years ago. But over 3,000 years ago, in the book of Isaiah, it was written down that God formed a baby in the womb. Man didn't understand that. Man did not have the technology. But I could go to the Bible and understand that a baby is life even when it's in the womb. So what life matters? Human life matters. What life matters? Unborn life matters. Unborn life matters. You know, in New York City, there's, like I said, we kind of pick this phrase, what life matters, to kind of make a play on the political scenario that's going on right now. Because people want to say, you know, yellow people matter and white people matter and black people matter or generals matter or this matters and police life matters and all this. I mean, they want to go all. I really believe that human life matters. Human life matters. But what's amazing to me is most of the time it's liberals that are calling out about this and saying, yeah, you know what? Life matters. Well, let me give you a stat for the liberals. You know, New York City, in 2012, there were more African-American babies killed in New York City than were born. Yeah. 31,328 were killed and only 24,758 were born. So, to the liberals, ask them some to sit down with one of your senators sometime and say, so who really does matter? Who matters? I believe all life matters. So you can just choose. Again, the reason we do not like to follow the Bible is because when it comes to other areas that are supposed to instruct our life, like morality. Yes, I'm pro-choice. I believe that baby has a choice to live. I am pro-choice. And I also think that an individual, a teenager, or a young woman, or a young man has a choice to not be promiscuous. You have a choice to be pure. You have a choice to restrain yourself. But in our day and age, what is taught? No self-restraint. Do whatever feels good. And so then after that act, what happens? Oh, well, the baby, I didn't realize. Oh, really? Well, if your maturity is so low that you don't understand that a man and a woman coming together in an act doesn't produce a life, then I would say that you shouldn't be involved because you're not mature enough to understand it. You're not mature enough. And now we have come into a day and age where no life matters. Older people don't matter. Babies don't matter. Nothing matters. But that's because we've gone away from God's book. Because God's book says all human life matters. All human life matters. You know why? Because you were created by God. That baby is created by God. That older person is created by God. He breathed into their nostrils the breath of life and they became a living soul. And that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. So all human life matters. Why? Because we're created in the image of God. So secondly, all human life matters. Why? Because we have a soul that is eternal. You can't say that about dogs. I'm sorry if I just ruined your day. There is no doggy heaven. I'm telling you, you can dig them up. Dig them up maybe, you know, I'm sure somewhere out there is like a doggy funeral place that you can, bury your dog and come to their site and remember them. Well, I can tell you this, the dog is still there. He didn't go anywhere else. He's still in the ground. And probably, if you have a bad case of groundhogs or things like that, it could be that he's a part of the groundhog that's running around. He may have snuck underneath there and that mole. He may have munched on your little pet. And now actually, his life, maybe he has been reincarnated. Reincarnated through a mole or through a rat or through a groundhog. But you know what? Dogs, cats, animals, they're not eternal. But man, his soul is eternal. Let me give you a couple of things in the Bible, and if you just want to jot them down, and then you can look at them, because I do want you to make sure that I'm following Scripture here. But in Matthew chapter 22, the Bible says this: Jesus answered, and he's talking to the Pharisees, and he said, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scripture nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." So Jesus Christ is referring to God, and he's saying God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they are living. Now, if you don't know Scripture, that was Jesus during the time of him living here on this earth. So that's about 2,000 years ago. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were a couple thousand years before that. They could have been maybe just, most believe, probably about 2,000 years before that. So Jesus, when he is speaking, is saying, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive. They've been alive for 2,000 years? How can that be? Jesus said it. It's because they had a living soul. And their soul lives on. Physically they died, but they live. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul also said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So what was Paul saying? If I am not here, I am with the Lord. Paul believed that the soul was eternal, not the physical body, because the physical body was going to perish, but his soul, if he died physically, his soul would then be absent from the body, but be present with the Lord. Our lives matter as humans because, unlike dogs, unlike cats, unlike dolphins, unlike a Shamu, you know what? Shamu's going to die. And he's going to die forever. And so are the little dolphins. But you know what? Your life and my life matters because when we pass away physically, we will either go to heaven or go to hell. One or the other. The Bible is very clear on that. In Revelation chapter 20, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things were written in the book, according to their works. And listen what it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What is the Bible telling you and I? There's a book of life in heaven. The book of life, I want my name written on there. How can I get my name written into the book of life? It is written in the book of life when I trust he that is the giver of life, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came down to this earth and there was a problem with you and I. We were created in the image of God and we had freedom. Remember, that's one of the things we said that makes us as like God. We have freedom. But guess what man chose? In the garden, in Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 3, we see that in the garden, man chose to disobey God. That's what he chose. He had the freedom to do that. When he chose to disobey God, there was a separation between God and man. It's a problem. What's the problem? Sin. The Bible says that that continued on. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us, myself included. When I was born with a problem. I had an eternal soul, but that eternal soul was damned to a Christless hell. It was doomed. Why? Because way back in the garden, Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, and that is my heritage. I have a heritage of sin, separation from God. They had the freedom to decide that. But it is passed down to me. But this is the beautiful thing about it. When that happened, I don't understand God and His finite wisdom. I don't understand God and His infinite wisdom. But God said, hey, you know what? I'm going to have a solution. And He came up with a solution. The solution was found in Romans chapter 5. I'll read it for you. In Romans chapter 5, the Bible tells us this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. So what's the Bible saying? Most of us, we would maybe think about dying or giving our life for a good man, but for a sinner, for a bad man, no, I'm not going to die for him. But God commended or showed His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, guess what happened? Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him, through Jesus Christ. This is what I can tell you this morning. All life matters because we're created in the image of God. All life matters because you have an eternal soul. And that eternal soul will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. It's your choice. We're made in the image of God. We have freedom. We have freedom to choose. We also, because we're made in the image of God, we have that immortal soul that is either going to go to heaven or go to hell. The world scoffs at this. And they've come up with all kinds of silly things. Reincarnation, soul sleep. They've come up with purgatory. They've come up with all kinds of things which are not in the Bible. But what is in the Bible is that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that to judgment. That is in the Bible. Your soul will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. So, what are you going to do with it? The Bible says, or man says, trust your heart. Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I would beg you this morning, don't trust your heart. Your heart will lead you the wrong way. So what can you trust? You can trust in Jesus. You can trust in His shed blood. You can trust in His word. You saw it there in Romans 5. Romans 5 said, hey, you wouldn't die for a sinner, but God commended His love. He showed you His love. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says this in John chapter 1. It says that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. My challenge to you this morning is understand that all life matters. Saved or unsaved here this morning, your life matters to God. You've been created by Him. Don't let people make human life cheap to you. How do they make it cheap? They make it cheap when they tell you that you are just from a big bang. You just happened. You didn't just happen. You were created by God. Did you see that in Isaiah? In your mother's womb, you were formed by God. That makes me a special creation. And God then says that my soul will live somewhere for eternity. Where will your soul spend eternity? Heaven or hell? You have a choice. Why? Because you have the freedom to choose. You're in His image. Will you choose God? Would you choose God's Son? Will you choose to repent of that sin? We must repent of our sin. The Bible says that we're all sinners and we must turn from that sin. But will you choose to live in that sin? If you choose to live in that sin, then you must answer for your sin by yourself. The Bible says we will all appear before Christ. We will all stand there. And there he opens up the book of life and he's looking for your name, John, Susie. I don't know. You look for your name. Is it there? How do I get my name there? Trusting in Jesus Christ. He is the giver of life. He took your place so that you could have heaven. One time the power of Satan bound us. One time we dwelt in blackest night. Then to the Lord we came believing, and all our darkness turned to light. One time our eyes were shut and blinded. One time we perished in the way. But when we saw the Savior dying, he turned our midnight into day. What about you here this morning? Will you trust Christ? Heads bowed, eyes closed here this morning. We tried to be clear. And there's more that we can talk about.